Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Becharos. We begin the fourth Masechta of Seder Kachim. You may have forgotten that we're learning Seder Kachim. You may have forgotten it because for the past 3-4 months more, so we've been discussing Masechta Chulin, which talks about animals that are not Kadosh, that do not have any type of sanctity. And that's the whole point of Chulin, meaning it's not Kadosh, it's not sanctified. And so we've spent some time now away from the topic of Kachim, but we return, we're back. And we're back on the topic of Kachim, and we start now the Masechta of Becharos, firstborn animals. Okay, 9 prakim, not a long Masechta. Where are we at today? Into the 60s? Yeah, 61. 61 blot of Gemara coming up ahead of us. Okay, that last off is only an Amud. I always look forward to that. Make sure, you know, just in case. But the 9th parak doesn't have to deal much with the topic of Becharos. The 9th parak has to deal with Maisa Behema. Okay, so 8 chapters that deal with the topic of Bechora. A lot of good stuff coming up in this Masechta. We'll talk about what a mum is, what a blemish is. We're actually going to give definitions for blemishes. I believe that's the 5th parak of Becharos, if I remember correctly. I guess we'll find out if I'm right. And right now we start the 1st parak. Now the 1st parak of Bechora, we saw this move in Masechta Shavuos. What's the move? The move is that there's a small topic to talk about. So we'll talk about it first. So to say, we'll get it out of the way. I don't mean it flippantly. I'm just simply saying, the Gemara is going to use almost that kind of language. Like, it's a small topic, so therefore we're going to discuss it first and be done with it. Although, of course, when I say be done with it, meaning we're just going to scratch the very surface of the topic. What topic are we talking about now? So we're talking about Peter Chamor. Peter Chamor is the first topic in the Masechta Becharos. So for that, an introduction, we go to my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. It's on. Okay. Perek Yud Gimel. It's the last aliyah of Parshas Bo. Vayidabar Hashem al Moshe l'emor, Kadesh l'kol b'chor, Peter kol rechem b'bnei Yisrael ba'adam v'behem alihu. Okay, so you need to sanctify Kadesh l'kol b'chor, every firstborn, anything that comes out of the womb first, whether it comes to humans or whether it comes to animals. Vayomer Moshe l'am zechor se'yom hazeh, she'yetzasim in Mitzrayim. And then the Torah goes on. And then we come back. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayaki ve'chashem la'aretz k'neni k'ashen ishbalach la'vasecho nesan alach ve'avarte kol petor ha'echem la'ashem v'chol petor sheger behima asher yeh l'cha ha'zecharim la'ashem. Every firstborn is going to go to God. Okay? You'll hear a lot of that because that's our whole masech that's predicated on that. V'chol petor chamor tifteh v'seh. And then the Torah goes on to describe, and what if it's a firstborn donkey? Now, that came out of nowhere. Meaning, donkey's not a kosher animal. Meaning, the whole idea of Bechor is that I take a firstborn kosher animal, meaning a kosher firstborn of a sheep, of a goat, of a cow, and that is a Bechor. And that has Kedushas Bechor, the sanctity of a firstborn. And we'll spend most of the Masechta talking about the consequences of it having Kedushas Bechor. It's given to a Kohen, it's the Shlamim, it's brought as a carbon Shlamim. Okay, all details to follow. But the Torah gives us something which is a little unique, a little bit odd, which is even your firstborn donkey. Now, donkey, of course, it's not a... Forget the fact that it's not brought on the Mizbeach. It's not even a non-kosher... It's not a kosher animal. But the Torah says, Kol petor chamor tifteh v'seh. So what you do, it has sanctity. So how do you get rid of that sanctity? How do you redeem that sanctity? With a sheep. You transfer the Kedusha from the firstborn donkey to a sheep. V'im lo tifteh. Now, what if you don't? Okay, so you have a donkey now that's running around with Kedusha. You can't offer it as a carbon. That's not an option. It's not a kosher animal. And so what do you do with it? So the Torah says, ve'arafto. So what you do is you break the back of its neck. You decapitate it. Right? Usually arifa means the back of the neck. Right? Egla arufa. Okay. V'chol b'chor adam b'vanecha tifteh. However, your firstborn humans, that you don't do that. Which is good to know. You know, right. No. Okay. That's, okay. Yeah, but rather you redeem it. Okay. Okay, and then Vayaki Yishalcha bin Chama Cholimor Mazos Vamarta Elah Bechosik Yad Hotziyan Hashem in Mitzrayim Mi Beis Avadim. Okay, one of the parshiyos, of course, they go into Tefillin because it has at the very end a mention of Tefillin. Okay, so this is one of the 4 parshiyos. Okay, and so with that in mind, so we are discussing now the first parak of Becharos. We open up with the first parak of Becharos, which talks about Peter Chamor, firstborn donkey, and we discuss now business transactions. Halokeach. Ubar chamaro shel ove kochavim. V'hamocher lo. Afa pisha ein rashai. So the Mishnah now discusses two financial arrangements. We're going to discuss more than two, but we'll start off with, we'll open up with two. A, you purchase a fetus of a donkey from a non-Jew. Now it's the firstborn fetus, which means that as this animal is going to be born, it should have Kedusha, but it's not going to have Kedusha. Why not? Because the non-Jew owns its mother. And the non-Jew's ownership of its mother is going to exempt the fetus to be a firstborn. Even if you buy it, the point of the Mishnah is, even if you buy it in utero. Okay? Oh, that's we're gonna discuss that. Rabbi Kornfeld's first topic of discussion in the Masechta. Now, selling him the fetus, so the Mishnah says you shouldn't. Meaning, you really shouldn't sell him the fetus. I'll come back, I'll discuss that point in more detail in just a moment. Or if you sell him, hamishtatif lo. Now, we're going to go over three other scenarios. Scenario number three, okay, of the five scenarios of the Mishnah, is shituf, partnership. Partnership, okay, mishutaf. So, hamishtatif lo mekabel haymenu. So number three, you go into a partnership with him, or mekabel haymenu. Mekabel haymenu means... You say to the non-Jew like this, I'll take your animal, I'll take your donkey, and we'll go splits on the fetuses. Okay? So basically it's like a sharecropping, it's like a form of sharecropping. I'll watch the animal, all fetuses born to it, we'll go half and half. Hanosein lo bekabala. And the fifth transaction the Mishnah describes is same, just that it's my animal, I'll give it to you, the non-Jew will take care of it. And we'll go halves on the fetuses. In all five of these scenarios, pater mina b'chora. So every one of these is going to create an exemption. Firstborn donkey will not have kedusha, will not need to be redeemed. Shenamar b'Yisrael. The pasuk says b'Yisrael. What pasuk are we? What pasuk is the Mishnah pointing to? Yeah, not here. Not right. Not Parshas Bo. Okay. The animal is owned by the Jew, and we're going to go halves on the fetuses. Right. So in other words, so he has a hand in that fetus, therefore creates an exemption. So, shenemra b'Yisrael v'lo b'acherim. Okay? So the pasuk says b'Yisrael, not b'acherim, and that is our Mishnah. Now, really, there are two concurrent issues going on in the Mishnah simultaneously. Meaning, the Mishnah's focus, we're learning Masechta Bechoros. We just opened up. So the Mishnah's main issue is an issue of Kedusha. Is the firstborn donkey going to have Kedusha? And in all five scenarios of the Mishnah, the answer is going to be no. All five scenarios. Why? Because a non-Jew has a portion of the animal. The mother, the fetus, the joint partnership. In other words, and if there is a non-Jew who has any interest, any shares in the animal, so it's going to create an exemption from firstborn. That's one issue. And there's another issue happening concurrently in the Mishnah is, which is, are you allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew? Now, this is a topic which the Gemara discusses again and again. We discussed this in Avodah Zarah. We touched on it in Chulin a little bit. Are you allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew? Interestingly, you're not.
Not the large animals.
Right, right. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that you're not allowed to sell large animals to a non-Jew. Now, why not? So also, there's a simple answer and there's a complicated answer. Okay, so what's the simple answer? Well, I'll tell you why it's a simple answer, and it doesn't make that much sense. But there's a simple answer, which is because now your animal is going to violate Shabbos.
Right.
Now that's a simple answer, and it's a good answer. But what's wrong with that answer?
It's not
you sold it to him. It's not your animal anymore. Okay, you know it's It's a little bit of a shame that the animal now is no longer a Shomer Shabbos animal, but the. The animal's compliance to Shabbos is based on who owns it. So if a Jew owns it, so the animal is Shomer Shabbos. If the non-Jew owns it, so okay. So it's not hard to view the animal as a, you know, as the same way as we view a human. Meaning, a Jew is not longer Shomer Shabbos. That's a big deal. But an animal, okay, that's a simple answer. And I'll tell you what's interesting. Right, you realize that the problem with that simple answer, but our Gemara is going to discuss this issue of selling an animal to a non-Jew, operating with this explanation, even though you realize it's not the real answer, quote unquote, but nevertheless, that's how our Gemara is going to treat the sale of an animal to a non-Jew, because the animal is no longer Shomer Shabbos. Okay, even though again, as we pointed out, it's It's not a complete answer. What's the complete answer? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah gives us more details in terms of why it is that you can't sell animals to a non-Jew. The problem is, says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, let me make sure I remember this correctly, I hope I do, that you're going to sell the animal, there's going to be a trial period. Meaning you don't buy a car without test driving it first. So you test drive it. So, and of course, when you test drive a car, so there's three right turns, and then you turn back to the lot, and you know, and that's it, be done with it. So yeah, the non-Jew wants to test drive the animal, and so test driving the animal means that the animal is really going to be yours, and he's going to test drive it, and he may come to test drive it on Shabbos. Now that's a problem because it's still your animal. Okay, so that's basically the Gemara in Avodah Zarah's explanation. So in other words, you understand it's a little bit of an extension of a gzerah, meaning I can't sell it, because if I sell it, he's going to have to test it out. When he tests it out, he may end up testing it out on Shabbos. Okay, and we're going to obviously say kulachad gzeira. It's all part of that one gzeira. Good. So that is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in terms of why you're not allowed to sell animals to a non-Jew. So our Mishnah is basically dealing with this, but not from the issue of selling, more from the issue of does it have kedushas bechor. And the Mishnah throws in one comment. Meaning, go back to the Mishnah, look back at the Mishnah again. Like the Mishnah says, you know you shouldn't have done that. Okay. Meaning, basically, our Mishnah is saying to us, right, we're not discussing that right now, because that's not our topic. You want to go back to whether or not you're allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew, go to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, see there for a full treatment of that discussion. But the Mishnah says, I'm not going to let it go. You shouldn't have done it. But now that you did, so now is it going to have Kedusha or is it not going to have Kedusha? Okay, understand? Really two issues going on in the Mishnah, but the focus of our Mishnah is really whether or not the firstborn donkey is going to have the Kedusha of Bechor.
Does the father have anything in it to do? The belong to
Goy? Right, so Choshish and Lazera Av, which we had that discussion in Chulin a couple times. So the... generally speaking, we say no, meaning the Petr, you know, Petr... I understand, but generally speaking, no. Kedushas Bechor is really on the mother. That's... After the first perek, we'll discuss all that. Kol Hani Alam Ali. Now, five different transactions in the Mishnah, and the Gemara's first question is a very simple one. Why do you need to go over all five transactions? So the Gemara says like this, Sricha. The Itan Lokeach. Let's go over the first case. First case is I buy a fetus from a non-Jew. So how about minim shum dekamaisi lele kedusha? So there, I'm bringing it into kedusha. Now Rashi says, what does that mean? I'm bringing it to kedusha, meaning the animal is now going to be shomer Shabbos. And again, as I mentioned in the beginning, in the Mishnah, again and again, Rashi is going to explain our Gemara and our Mishnah. That the whole issue of selling an animal from Jew to non-Jew or non-Jew to Jew is whether it's going to start keeping Shabbos or not keep Shabbos. And, okay, it's interesting. It's just interesting that becomes one of the operative issues according to Rashi and our Gemara. You will take a look at Tosfos. I'm not going to go over it now, but Tosfos gives a different explanation of what the Gemara means when it says Maisi Lala Kedusha. Okay, but right now, suffice just to work with Rashi. The Kamaisi Lala Kedusha Ava Mocher. Good. So when you buy an animal, so you did good. You elevated the status of the animal. The animal wasn't a Shomer Shabbos. Now the animal's a Shomer Shabbos. Good. And so therefore, there's no reason to make any type of penalty. You did good. But a mocher de kamafke le mekedusha. But when you sell an animal and you're removing kedusha, because now the animal at one point in time was Shomer Shabbos. Now you sell it to a non-Jew, animal's no longer Shomer Shabbos. So you've diminished its kedusha. Ema, I might have thought liknase should penalize, make a penalty, and what that penalty would actually be? Right. Give that firstborn animal the status of kedushas bechor, and you, the seller, are still going to be on the hook. You're going to need to redeem that firstborn animal and give that redemption to a kohen. So ema liknase kamash malan. So that covers now cases 1 and 2 in the Mishnah. One's a setup, meaning one is, the first case in the Mishnah is just basically to give us our baseline, that buying an animal from a non-Jew, that's totally fine, and there's nothing you did, nothing wrong. Second case in the Mishnah is selling, which you didn't do good, you should not have sold it to a non-Jew, okay, for...
But how can you redeem something if you sell gold? Or
knas, sell meaning, no, you're knas. The Gemara uses the word knas, which means that me'ikar hadin.
Even though it's not yours anymore.
Even though the animal really doesn't even have kedushas b'chor.
Right. No,
never, knas, knas. Okay, case number three. Hamishtateh lo. Case number three is now you go into a partnership. So there is an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that even though there's a partnership, you're still going to be obligated in Kedushas Bechor. So our mission is coming to remove ourselves from the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Good, that's a Chiddush. Good. Next. Hamakabo Lamali. Now we have two cases of the Mishnah, which is basically two cases of sharecropping. Number one is Makabo. You take an animal from a non-Jew for the purpose of splitting the fetuses. So, v'amekabala, malimishum dekabai lemisne v'hanosin la bekabala. Okay, so case number four is really a setup for case number five. Now, what's so exciting about case number five? Meaning it's your animal, the Jew's animal, you give it to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew now is going to take care of it, and you're going to, the partnership is going to be that you're going to split the fetuses. I know it's not a kabbalah. Lamerly, it's rich sakadat. I mean, a whole veikar behema diyisrael he liknesay. Dilma asilach lufa bebehema achrisa. Because look, whose animal is this? Who's the mother? The mother belongs exclusively to a Jew. The only thing the non-Jew is doing is caretaking, watching the animal, right? Which is a big deal. In other words, and his interest is going to be a partnership in the fetuses. But the animal fundamentally belongs to a Jew. So now the casual onlooker who's looking at this scenario is going to say to himself, well, isn't that strange? Here I have firstborn of a donkey, owned by a Jew, and it's exempt? Huh? And it'll lead to a lot of confusion, and people will walk away thinking to themselves, now there must be no mitzvah of Petar Chamor. So therefore, the Mishnah's point is that even though that you could view that as a concern, we're not viewing that as a concern. And even then, firstborn donkey is going to be exempt from Kedushas Bechor. Okay? Good. We learned the Mishnah. Five different transactions in the Mishnah. And the Gemara explains the need for all five different transactions. Truth be told, transaction one and four of the Mishnah, of the five different transactions, are really setups for the next. Okay. Tanan Hasam. Now, let's take a look at a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. I told you in our Mishnah there really are two issues going on concurrently. One is whether or not the firstborn has Kedusha, which is really the topic. And then a side discussion, which is also important, is the permissibility of selling an animal to a non-Jew. Now again, the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says you're not. You're not allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew. It's Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Again, two explanations, a simple one and the slightly more complicated one.
So how can you get it?
Right. Excellent question. I mean, that's really an excellent question, right? Phil's asking how that fifth arrangement of the Mishnah, where it's your animal and you give it to the non-Jew and you say to the non-Jew, okay, you take care of it and we're going to split, and there, meaning it's mamish, your animal, it's a Jew's animal,
right.
And he's and if you're asking the non-Jew to take care of it, it sounds like the animal's for sure going to work on Shabbos.
Right.
I hope you don't mind. I don't know if I'm going to have a good answer. Okay, it's a good question. It's a really good.
What about the shash that the Akram may work? They use it for Avodah Zarah.
No. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is worried about bestiality, but worshiping it though is not a concern. Right. Although in India, they get I understand. They get a little caught up. Tanan Hasam, we're learning the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Rav Yehuda Matir Bishvura. Rav Yehuda says if your animal is a lame animal, you could sell it to a non-Jew. Because what's the issue? The issue is having the animal work on Shabbos. But here it's lame. You can't work it. So really, the only thing that's going to happen to this animal is it's going to get shecht and it's going to get eaten. And non-Jew is not going to shecht, but you understand. Meaning it's not going to work on Shabbos. So Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to sell a shvura, a broken animal, to a non-Jew. In general, meaning again, we're now not discussing Kedushas Bechor, we're just talking about simple transactions. Now, the Chachamim obviously disagree with Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim's position is very simple. Look, it's a rabbinic ban, period. Don't sell an animal to a non-Jew. You're going to tell me, oh, but this one's broken, and the guy's not going to work it, and so therefore it's okay. And the Chachamim said, no, that's too, it's too complicated. Lo plug, meaning you're not allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew, period. End of that discussion. So, okay, so that's a machlokes in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Rav Yehuda Mati B'Shur, Ben Becerra Mati B'Susim, and Ben Becerra says you're allowed to sell a horse to a non-Jew. And Rashi goes on to explain, and we'll do this very quickly because it's not really our topic for today. Why? Why does Ben Becerra say you're allowed to sell a horse? Because what does a horse do? A horse just simply carries, but what does it carry? People, humans. And that is not aser min haTorah. That's only aser min derabanan. We have a concept, Rashi quotes it over here, chai nosei es atzmo, that a living person, when being carried by another person, is chai nosei es atzmo. Right? The difference between carrying live weight versus carrying dead weight. And so it's the person who's being carried kind of shifts his weight. So I always find this hard to explain in terms of why it's not biblically prohibited, but it's a concept. It's called chai nosei es atzmo. The living person carries himself, so to say. It's not biblically prohibited to carry another person on Shabbos. Rabbinically, it's forbidden. But over here now, we're talking about selling a horse carrying a human, which is only a rabbinic prohibition. And now you're talking about banning the transaction because of a rabbinic prohibition that's called l'gzera, and Ben Becerra says, we're not worried about that, that's already too far, and so therefore Ben Becerra says you're allowed to sell a horse to a non-Jew. Okay. Correct. In other words, you could use it. Ben Becerra is looking at the primary usage of the horse. Okay. Now, Ibailahu, good. So now I know, okay, good, we discussed Ben Becerra, now we leave him. And we're going to really focus all of our attention for the rest of today on the position of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that you can sell a broken animal to a non-Jew. Okay, because the animal's not going to work. Good. According to Rav Yehuda, can you sell a fetus to a non-Jew? No. Just a fetus. Just a fetus. No, just, again, we're now... Right, right. Remove yourself from the world of Kedushas Bechor. Just a fetus. Okay, so as Eddie points out, we are now thinking about its potential. Meaning, we can make a simple distinction between the case of selling a broken animal and selling a fetus. Broken animal, that's it. Right? Elmer's glue, meaning it's done. Fetuses, right now, I understand the fetus is not going to do a whole lot. But eventually it's going to grow up. So, you already hear the question. Right? According to Rav Yehuda, I mean, this whole question is not going to work according to the Chachamim, or maybe it will. We'll talk about that later on. But according to Rav Yehuda, who I know says that you're allowed to sell broken animals, so in other words, he doesn't simply say lo plug. He looks at it by case by case. So, broken animal you could sell to a goy on Shabbos. How about a fetus? Gemara asks this very question. Ibai lehu, uber mali. Amar Rav Yehuda, time of, I'm sorry, Mali Amar Rav Yehuda. Time of Rav Yehuda, Hasam Deshar Mishum Deshvura, Ubernami Shavarhu. Do we look at the fetus right here now? It's broken. You know what that means. It's broken. Meaning right now, the fetus is not going to be doing work for you. So as its state right now, we could basically say it's just like a Shvura. Or no, in other words, an animal that becomes lame, that's totally irregular. In other words, it's an exceptional case because it's exceptional. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, you could sell a broken animal to a non-Jew. It's not going to lead to the sale of other animals to a non-Jew. But a fetus, orche, meaning correct. Right now, the fetus isn't going to help you a whole lot. But that's normal. That's normal transaction, and maybe Rav Yehuda would put that under the ban of selling animals to a non-Jew. Maybe inconsequential. If time permits later on, I mean, Stuart raised the issue, which is a good issue to raise. Meaning, we're going to be talking about for the entirety of today and tomorrow the selling of fetuses. It's a davar shelo bala olam. Okay, we'll talk if time will permit. We'll talk about it. First thing we'll try to get through the daf, and then. If time will allow. Aval ubar came in the hainu orche la shavu tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, let's see. Look at a couple of brisos and mishnayos and see whether or not Rabbi Yehuda permits the sale of a fetus to a non-Jew. Hamokha lo afa pishen rashai velo palig Rabbi Yehuda. So look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, hamokha lo, you selling the fetus to a non-Jew. And what does our Mishnah say? Ain a rashai, you shouldn't have done that. And,
Why? Because eventually it'll go up and work in Shabbos.
Right. And also, what you see in the Mishnah is at that point in time, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue. There's no, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't pipe up in the Mishnah and say, no, I disagree, you could sell it. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, Rav Yehuda argues on other points in the Mishnah as well. Rav Yehuda argues on the point of Shituf, meaning Rav Yehuda says that a foreign partnership between Jew and non-Jew over an animal is not going to exempt the animal from the mitzvah of Bechor. And so you know Rav Yehuda argues on the other points in the Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda doesn't pipe up. The way the Mishnah was formulated is that we know Rav Yehuda argues, but for whatever reason, Rav Yehuda Anasi did not include Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. So the fact that you don't see Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah is proof for nothing. It just happens to be Rav Yehuda is not mentioned in our Mishnah. V'lo ketani, hachanami, palik v'lo ketani. Okay, so don't look at our Mishnah as a proof. So tashma, so how about looking at this? A braisa. Rav Yehuda omer amekaba behema min ove kochavim v'yalda. You accept a animal from a non-Jew, and it gives birth, malanoso b'shavyav, v'nosin chatzi damav l'kohen. So figure out how much the animal's worth, and give half of that to a kohen. Okay? This is Rav Yehuda l'shita, so Rav Yehuda's position is that a partnership does not exempt the firstborn from having kedusha. Half of it, meaning remember, it's a jointly owned animal, so only half of it has kedusha, so half of its value is given to a kohen. Okay? Now, what if you accept the animal from a non-Jew? Meaning that the mother is owned by a non-Jew, and you accept it as a joint venture. And the joint venture is that all animals born from this animal are going to be split between Jew and non-Jew. Now, you weren't allowed to do that. Konsin oso ad asara bedamav v'nosin kol damav lekohen. The penalty, penalize. In other words, you did something you weren't supposed to do, and as part of the penalty, by the way, I said it wrong. Correct. Thank you. Thank you very much. I said it wrong. I'm sorry. So it's not the Jew taking care of the guy's animal. It's the guy. Good. I'm correcting myself. It's the guy taking care of the Jew's animal. Right. That makes more sense. Hanos in lo bekabalah. So in other words, you give it to the non-Jew to take care of, and you shouldn't have done that. So konsin osar dasar bedamav. So because you violated the rabbinic gzeira, transferring an animal to a non-Jew, so konsenos adasar b'damav, so the penalty is 10 times, that is an unbelievable penalty. In fact, it's so unbelievable, tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to ask, really? 10 times? Like, even the Torah, when the Torah penalizes, the Torah talks about 2 times.
Who would have thought he got Marcus? No, I think what he's saying, even if the guy is demanding 10 times.
Okay, so tomorrow's daf, we're going to talk about that. Right, so konsan osar adasar b'damav v'nosin kol damav l'kohen, and you give its entire value to the kohen. Okay, now grammarians in this room, you noticed it says kol damav, right? Who is that talking about? Fetus or the mother?
Fetus.
It's talking about the fetus, right? Damav, its value. Right. If we're talking about mom, it would say dameha.
No, it's redeeming the fetus.
Right. No saying kol damav l'kohen. So the Gemara now makes the following following diuk. My lava uber. So when we're talking about now redeeming it, we're talking about the uber, the fetus. Meaning you should not have sold the fetus to a non-Jew. That's what it sounds like the Bryce is saying. You shouldn't have made that transaction of the fetus to the non-Jew. And so our question was, according to Rav Yehuda, who says that you're allowed to sell a broken animal to a non-Jew, does he allow the sale of a fetus? From this brisa, the answer seems to be no. And how do I see that from the brisa? Because the brisa is talking about penalty. Penalize the Jew for having transacted the fetus to a non-Jew. The Gemara says, lo abehema. The Gemara suggests, well, maybe no. Maybe the penalty is not on selling the fetus, but on selling the mother. Or transaction, I shouldn't say selling, but transacting the mother. But how damav katana? The Gemara says, yeah, but read the brisa carefully. It doesn't say damav, it says damav. which is talking about the fetus. So to me, tini dameha. So the Gemara says, okay, so make a correction, take the bright, it's a brisa. I guess we're allowed to do that. So in other words, not damav, but dameha. So it's talking about the mother. Vahan no saint called damav the kohen katani. The Gemara says, come on, that can't be. Because, and what do you do after you redeem it? Give it to the kohen.
But it's the fetus you're giving.
Of course. In other words, we have to be talking about the fetus. We can't be talking about the mother. V'i behema kohen ma'avidate. What business does the kohen have with the animal? And the animal doesn't belong to the kohen. You're redeeming it and giving its value to the kohen. We're obviously talking about the fetus.
So,
yeah, again, yes, all that's correct, but that's so the Gemara says this brisa could be talking about the following scenario, right? In other words, the Gemara is going to give a real akimta over here, where you gave, and the animal was already pregnant, and you gave it to the non-Jew, and this venture was the following. You say to the non-Jew, okay, fatten it up. Fatten up the animal, fatten up the baby, and there, look, we're already penalizing, and the penalty is on the mother, and migu, in other words, we're going to extend the penalty. Since we're already penalizing on the mother, so we're also going to penalize on the fetus as well. But in general, Rav Yehuda may in fact maintain that if it's just a transaction of a fetus to a non-Jew, that you're allowed to do. So again, the question on the table. Rav Yehuda, does he allow selling a fetus to a non-Jew? We know he's allowed to. We know he allows the sale of a broken animal, lame animal to a non-Jew. How about a fetus? At this point in time, unresolved. Am Rav Ashi, Tashma, Rav Yehuda, Matu, Bishvur, Mimnesha, Enu, Chola, Lehis, Rapos. What's the problem with the lame animal? It's not going to get better. So, Ha, Yechol, Lehis, Rapos, Asr. Va, Uber, Nami, Ki, Yechol, Lehis, Rapos, Dami, Shma, Mina. So the Gemara now finally concludes, and Hedi, basically the Gemara makes your point. Which is, you see the difference? And the lame animal is not going to get any better. So Rav Yehuda says, sell it to the non-Jew. He's not going to work it on Shabbos. It can't work. And this injury, basically the animal's done. So you want to sell it to a non-Jew, that's fine. But a fetus, yachol lehisrapos, it's going to get better, right? It's got a good prognosis. It's a fetus that's going to grow into a healthy, vibrant animal that's going to end up working on Shabbos. So therefore, the Gemara says, that's the conclusion, Rav Yehuda would not allow the sale of a fetus to a non-Jew. Ik de masni la am masnisa. Now, attach this right to the Mishnah. Hamochel af abishan rashai, lema masnisin lo k'Rav Yehuda, denam Rav Yehuda matu b'shvura, afilu tem Rav Yehuda shvur la v'hainu orche, uber hainu orche. And the Gemara says, look, it's the same distinction that we just made, that even though Rav Yehuda does not permit the sale of, I'm sorry, even though Rav Yehuda does permit the sale of a broken animal to a non-Jew, but fetuses are different because fetuses are orche. It's normal. It's a fetus. It's going to grow into a healthy animal. Tashma Rav Yehuda Omer HaMekabal Behema Mina Ovi Kocham V'yalda Amal Naso B'Shav Yavanos Nechasi Damav L'Kohen. Okay, we're going to go back to that Brisa, and we're going to learn this Brisa again. Okay, it's good. This is just simply going to be a review of what we already saw. It's just a different variation of how it's being presented. Rav Yehuda says that if you accept an animal from a non-Jew, and again, same mistake, you give your animal to a non-Jew, and with the agreement to split the fetuses, manos abishav yivanos nichas yadam of the kohen. So, since there's a partnership over the fetus, half of it is going to go to a, half of the value is going to go to a kohen. Now, if you give your animal to a non-Jew with the arrangement and the agreement that you're going to split the fetuses, so we penalize them 10 times the value. So my lava uber, so the Gemara, again, same discussion. Aren't we talking about the fetus? Lo abehema. No, we're not talking about the fetus, we're talking about the mother. But it says in the masculine. So tini damah, so change it, right damah. V'ha no sin called amav l'kohen katani, yeah, but it says give it to the kohen. V'i behema kohen ma'avidate. What business does a kohen have regarding the mother? Hacha b'ma'isin, k'n gondi av behema ma'avart l'petuma, demigu d'kansin le'a behema, kansin le'a ubar. Okay, and the Gemara says that the case of the brisa is where it was already pregnant, and you gave it to the non-Jew, and the business arrangement was, you fan it up, and we're going to then, after fanning it up, we're going to sell it and split the profit. And there, now, since you violated the rabbinic decree of selling the animal to the non-Jew, and since the penalty is going on the sale of the mother, so migus, so know what, we're going to extend the penalty on the fetus as well. Perhaps, by the way, Rabbi Goldstein, for the reason that you suggested earlier, because maybe the fetus at this point in time is just simply viewed as a limb of the other mother. Amar Rav Ashi Tashma, Rav Yehuda Mati Bishvur, Mimnei Shei Yecholei Yisrapos, Hayecholei Yisrapos, Asdor V'Hainami Keyecholei Yisrapos, Dami Shema Mina. And the end of the second version of the Gemara concludes the same way it did the first time around, which is, you see the difference, a lame animal is not going to get better, that's why Rav Yehuda allows its sale to a non-Jew. A fetus will get better, that's what happens, a developing fetus will get better, and so therefore, you are not allowed to sell the fetus to a non-Jew. The Gemara's conclusion is very straightforward. According to Rav Yehuda, who allows the sale of a broken animal to a non-Jew, but that will not extend that allowance to a fetus is different. Okay. No, it's just how the discussion started. In other words, in the second version, the discussion starts from our Mishnah. That's the only difference.
In terms of the Jew accepts to raise the fetus of a non-Jew, it doesn't seem like there's a knas. It's just he gives half the value like it's supposed to. Whereas with other case, it's a penalty.
Right. Because
you don't have any problem with you taking
an animal. Right. Taking an animal from a non-Jew is fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Ibailu umachar behema uvre hamayim. Okay? How about this? Selling an animal for its fetuses, okay, meaning right now the animal's not pregnant, and it's a future.
Right.
It's a future. It's the sale, it's the transaction of futures. Very popular nowadays in the business world, right, buying and selling futures. So over here, that's exactly what we're talking about, okay? And if time will permit, maybe it will. We'll talk about, generally speaking, we're against that, meaning
right.
We're not against it. It doesn't work, right, in halacha. It's what's called the davar shelo bala olam. Okay, and for whatever reason, the Gemara does not discuss it. It's interesting why the Gemara does not bring up that issue, but like the Gemara right now, I will ignore that issue. If time permits later, we'll discuss it. But right now, the Gemara's question is very straightforward. If I sell an animal for its fetuses, my, so is that allowed? Can we do that? So Tibayla Rabbi Yehuda, Tibayla Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, we can ask this question for Rabbi Yehuda, we can ask this question for the Rabbanan. Now, you understand, asking it on behalf of the Chachamim, it's strange. Because the Chachamim's position is lo plug, meaning the Chachamim basically say we don't make differences. The Chachamim did not allow the sale of a lame animal, even though the only thing you could do with it is work it. I'm sorry, is you know shecht it and eat it, right? So it's kind of funny that the Gemara is like even entertaining this according to the Chachamim. For Rav Yehuda, you totally understand because Rav Yehuda makes allowances. So maybe over here, Rav Yehuda would make an allowance as well. So Tibayla Rav Yehuda Adkan lo kashar Rav Yehuda ela b'shvura de lo asya le'ichlufe. Ava shlema de asya le'ichlufe aser. So, according to Rav Yehuda, I still hear that as the question because selling a lame animal, everybody understands. The animal can't even walk from your house to the non-Jew. So everyone understands, oh, I get it. He's selling it because the animal's not going to end up working. So people won't be confused. But over here, you're transacting a good animal to a non-Jew. So people will say to themselves, oh, okay, must be okay. And then people will totally forget about this rabbinic decree that you're not allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew. So this question can be posed according to Rav Yehuda. On the other hand, no. Because what are you doing? Are you selling an animal to a non-Jew in this case? No. No, you're not selling it to him. What you're doing is you're handing over the animal to the non-Jew. You're saying to him, it's my animal, right? We understand that. The business arrangement is all future fetuses that will be born from this animal will go 50-50 on. But you're not selling this animal to a non-Jew. And the Gemara's terminology is lo pascha minei. It wasn't broken from you. Meaning the animal's really still fundamentally yours. Right? You're just splitting dividends. In this case, dividends in the form of fetuses. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda would say, in this case, it's okay. No, no, no. We're just right now. Remember, there are two concurrent issues going on in our Gemara. The one is the Kedushas Bechor, and the other is the permissibility of doing types of transactions with a non-Jew over animals. Tibayla Rabbanan, and I'll ask you this question according to the Chachamim, which is, Adkan lo kasri Rabbanan lo b'shur de paskimineh, av ashlemet lo paskimineh, sharu. Maybe the Chachamim would also allow it because you're not really selling the animal to a non-Jew. Or on the other hand, we could just simply say, according to the Chachamim, no loopholes. None. Meaning, if you can't sell a broken animal to a non-Jew, here, I understand it's a transaction in which you're not really selling your animal. But it's a transaction. It's a business transaction where you're handing over your animal to a non-Jew. And so people look at that and people say, oh, okay, fine. What's the difference? So I'll sell my animal to a non-Jew. So good. So the time of the Rabbanim Mishum Hachihu Vatanya, Amar Lo Rav Yehuda, Ba'alom Marvin Allah V'yoledes. So the Gemara says, but let's go back to the Gemara Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah couldn't be any clearer in terms of why the Chachamim say it's prohibited. Why can't I sell a broken animal to a non-Jew? You know it's not going to work on Shabbos. And so the Chachamim say to Rav Yehuda, okay, I know it can't work, but what's going to end up happening is it's going to mate. And it's going to produce more. Okay, Ama Mishum Uvrehu. The whole issue over there, according to the Chachamim, is that right now you can't work the animal, but it's going to produce future working animals. Hachi kamar le taima didan mishum de asya le chlufa bebehema. Ela at my taima sharya. Mishum de enya chole srapos kaman de zavna le shchita dame. Hachi kamar le. So the Gemara says, this is how you're going to understand the dialogue between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. Taima didan mishum de asya le chlufa bebehema. Look. You want our reason, or you want our rationale, this is Chachamim talking. Our rationale is no exceptions, no loopholes. Meaning, you can't sell. I don't care if it's lame, I don't care if it's not, it doesn't matter. No exceptions. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, like we understand what you're thinking. You're thinking you could sell it because it's not going to get better. But But let me ask you this question. I understand right now the animal can't work, but it could be mated. It could produce futures. So the kaven de marvita la violos, mashallah, varmaluhu lechishetele de lo mekabel zachar. And Rav Yehuda's point of dissension to the Chachamim is, yeah, let me see that happen. Meaning, Rav Yehuda says back to the Chachamim, it's not going to happen. Meaning, it's a lame animal. They're not going to keep it to be mated. Lechishetele. Like, when it happens, I'll worry about it. Otherwise stated, it's not going to happen. I'm not worried about the animal being mated. Okay. And it's a funny ending to a debate because basically, right, they're basically having an argument in Metzius, meaning the Chachamim say it can be mated and Rav Yehuda says no, it can't. Okay, that's a funny way to end an argument. We usually, huh? Yeah, usually in the Gemara doesn't argue about what's the reality. The Gemara's argument is about the legality, but not the reality. Right. That was a debate over there in the Gemara. But yes, generally speaking, while the Gemara over there had a clear conclusion. Okay, Tashma, gotta go over these Gemaras. Tashma v'anosin lo bekabal v'lo ketani alfa pishen rishai. Okay, so let's see. In other words, again, question on the table is, can I, according to Rav Yehuda, do this type of transaction? I'm not selling an animal to a non-Jew. I am retaining the animal for myself, but letting him take care of it in order to split the fetuses. Is that okay? Again, not the issue of Kedushas Bechor, the issue of, is this fall under the rabbinic ban of transaction? I know Stan Lobi Kabbalah Velokitani Alpha Pishen Rashai. Look at our Mishnah, because our Mishnah gives that scenario. That's our Mishnah scenario, and the Mishnah does not attach the frown of, you know, you shouldn't have done that. The Mishnah doesn't do that. As opposed to the first case in the Mishnah, I should say rather, the second case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, and if you sell your animal to a non-Jew, and then the Mishnah frowns, then the Mishnah says, and you know you shouldn't have done that. But when it comes to this case, the Mishnah doesn't make such a frown. So the Gemara says, you're reading too much into the Mishnah. Because look at the third case of the Mishnah. Joint partnership. Meaning just flat out joint partnership. You and a non-Jew buy an animal. Okay? So, and the Mishnah doesn't say, and we don't like that. And you know, we don't like that. The father of Shmuel says, "Asa la adam shiyase shutfos him alve kochavim." You're not allowed to make a partnership with a non-Jew. Shema yischayev lo shvur. What's the problem? The problem is that you may go into litigation. Sometimes partnerships end that way, unfortunately. And v'nishbalo b'shem avodas kochavim shalom. And the problem is that as you go into litigation, and he now needs to defend his position, and he's going to say, "I swear by my God," and he's not going uppercase G, he's going lowercase G, okay? And v'atorah amar lo yishama al picha, that you're not allowed to have other people mention their false gods, okay? And so you're violating the issur in the Torah of lo yishama al picha, might be a subcategory of lifnei iver, okay? We can maybe put it there. In other words, creating a partnership with a non-Jew is a no-no. And in our mission, the mission doesn't say Alpha Pisha and Rashai. So Elatana Mechira v'huadin l'shutfos hachanami tamina Mechira v'huadin l'kablanos. So the Gemara says you'll have to assume in the Mishnah, just like we don't favor selling an animal to a non-Jew, and just like we don't favor making a partnership, so kablanos as well is also not favored, even though you're not reading that in the Mishnah. And why does the Mishnah attach the shouldn't do that to Mechira? Because that is the prime location of the rabbinic decree, not to sell an animal. Kablanos, Shutfus, they're all kind of like subcategories. But the main issue is selling an animal to an unjust.
Right,
they just wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay, Tashma, we'll do one more. Meaning, again, question on the table is, Kablanos, is that acceptable according to Rav Yehuda? Would Rav Yehuda allow you to give your animal to a non-Jew, not to sell it to him? He'll watch the animal, take care of the animal, and you'll split the fetuses. Is such a transaction allowed according to Rav Yehuda? Tashma, Rav Yehuda, Amar, Amakabla, Meim, Amanoi, V'kochav, V'yalda, Ma'al Nosa, B'shavay, Amanos, Nichasi, Dama, L'Kawain, Hanosim, B'kabala. You give your animal to a non-Jew, and he'll watch it. Afa pi she'ein o rashai. Konsen oso adasar b'dama v'nosin kol demav l'kohen v'chachamim omrim. Kol zman she'yad ovi kochav v'emsa p'tura min ha'bechora. So again now, the Gemara is giving this brisa where you hear according to Rav Yehuda, you shouldn't have done that. So my lav abehema. So the Gemara says, when it says that we penalize, it's going on the animal, lo ha'ubar. So the Gemara says, no, it's not going on the animal, it's going on the fetus. Dekanami, dektani, konsen oso, adasar bidamav, shma mina. You see that it's going not on the animal, but rather on the fetus. Okay? So the penalty is going on the fetus. So the Gemara, at this point in time, doesn't really have resolution on this question of whether or not Rav Yehuda would allow a transaction of kablanos. Okay. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad for a first day's work. We'll make more efforts in terms of keeping up with the daf. A couple of points. I guess one point I'll say now, one point I'll say for tomorrow. Okay. The big issue which we raised already a couple of times today is can we sell a fetus? We're talking about the transaction of fetus, davar shelo bal olam. Okay, so tomorrow I'll open up with a discussion. Right, Rabbi Kornfeld, if you want to see in Rabbi Kornfeld today, he discusses that very issue. Just quickly now, what about making a partnership with a non-Jew? The Gemara says you're not allowed to do it, right? Gemara says it pretty clearly. You're not allowed to make a partnership with a non-Jew. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. You can't say it that way. Old Parish. Parish Rabbeinu Tam. So listen to Rabbeinu Tam. I read Rabbeinu Tam. It's found in our Gemara, second to last Tosfos on the page of Beis Amud Beis, and Old Parish Rabbeinu Tam. Which is Bizmanazah Kulan Nishmaim Bakadeshim the Ain't Tofsim Bahem Allahus the Afa Pishim Askirin Imahem Shem Shamayim the Kavanasam Ladava Akhir Mikamakom Ain't Ze Shem Avodas Kochavim. Even when they swear in the name of their gods and they mention other types of deities.
Christians.
Yeah, we all know what Rabbeinu Tam is talking about, living in the 12th, 13th century of France and Germany. Okay, we all know what he's talking about. Ki da'atam l'shem osei shamayim va'aretz. They're fundamentally monotheists. This is Rabbeinu Tam's argument, right? You've heard this in different you know venues, but here it's Rabbeinu Tam on our daf. They're really fundamentally monotheists. L'shem osei shamayim va'aretz va'af agav shemishtatev shem shamayim v'davar acher. Now they mix in a little bit of other things with it, but Rabbeinu Tam says, but don't get confused. They're really monotheists. Because Ben Noach, If he wants to sprinkle a little something else into his monotheism, it's okay. Okay, and then for us, it's an issue of gram shituf. It's okay. Now the question, right, Hedy? Where did Rabbeinu Tam come up with this? That shituf bedavar, shituf bedavar achir. So I'm not sure. I think the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses this in a little more detail, but it is a famed opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. You know, the Jews in the 12th, 13th, and onward had no problem creating partnerships with Christianity. And Rabbeinu Tam over here is voicing the Tosfos opinion, which is it's really monotheism, just, you know, with a little more sprinkled in.
Didn't Rama hold the same
way? Yeah. They
Rambam disagrees.
Right, but the lo yishama meaning, right. But it shouldn't cause. Right. Okay.